You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's Tuesday, August 6th, here on the Locked On Kings podcast. 6 days into my least favorite month of the year for sports. It's the dead period for the NBA. And hey, maybe you're excited about NFL training camps. Maybe you're going to NFL preseason games. Maybe you're a diehard baseball fan and you're getting excited about the race that's picking up as we look at the playoff picture. That's great. I admire you. But at least here on the Locked On Kings podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, this is the roughest part of the year, but we do our best to get you through it, and we focus even during the dead times, even during the long off-season periods. We always focus and bring conversation back to the Sacramento Kings where it belongs for you, the fantastic Sacramento Kings fan base, and all of you great listeners on the Locked On Podcast Network. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings conversation and coverage all season, all off-season. Every month of the year, it does not matter. We always have coverage for you. In-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the offseason, including draft coverage, free agency coverage, training camp coverage, Team USA coverage, as the Kings have three players that are involved in Team USA camps, although two of them are on the main roster. One is just on the select team. I'll be talking about that in just a little bit here today. Also, full previews and conversation of playoff potential. And that's hard to do. That's hard to really dive into and appreciate and speak on when we're in August and there's so many months to go really to the start of the regular season, let alone the start of playoffs. But we do our best to have that conversation and find out here on the Locked On Kings podcast how likely it is that this could be the year that the Kings finally break a 13-plus year playoff drought and make it into the postseason. My name is Matt George, Mr. Optimist Matt George. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. And I'm very excited that so many of you, so many of my colleagues, are actually joining me and humoring a playoff conversation for this Kings team. It's been a long time since we've been able to actually do that, especially during an offseason. Now, none of us are saying it's 100% lock that the Kings are going to be into the postseason, but I think we'll all agree that the Kings have a legitimate shot at the playoffs going into this year, and it's the first time that I've been able to say that with confidence really since 2006. And that's incredible to think about. So hopefully this will be the year that the Kings break that playoff drought. And on today's show, continuing with the Wild West series, the series I've been doing, inviting guests in, and we've been breaking down the Western Conference last year's playoff picture, finding out what teams are going to be staying in the playoffs, what teams are going to be falling out, and how the Kings potentially can work their way into the postseason. On this episode today, I have Kyle Madsen joining me. He's from Sports 1140 KHDK's morning show, The Drive, and he's actually in his last week here at KHDK. He's going back to the Bay Area where he is from, and he will be he'll be starting a new gig at a familiar radio station down in the Bay Area, and that you can find out more about that on his Twitter account, as he'll announce that later on this week. But he was nice enough here in his final week to take some time and spend with me and partake in this Wild West series, which I will get to in just a little bit. Before that, though, have to talk about De'Aaron Fox, Harrison Barnes, both on the main roster right now, or at least in the main training camp, a training camp invitee for Team USA's main roster, and De'Aaron Fox got an invite just recently, and I know that scared some people, to be completely honest, and I'm not disregarding your fears or your injury concerns whatsoever. My opinion on the entire situation is that there's no way you turn down this opportunity. If injuries happen, injuries happen. And yes, there are freak incidents like what happened with Paul George when he was playing for Team USA a number of years ago. And if De'Aaron Fox were to suffer a horrific injury playing non-NBA competition for Team USA, I know that would be a very tough pill for a lot of Kings fans to swallow. It certainly would put an end to the Kings playoff hopes very, very quickly heading into next season. That's for sure. However, the opportunity for De'Aaron Fox, for him personally to be able to represent his country and to play at the highest level with some of the best players that the USA has to offer. It's a no-brainer for him. And on top of that, from a developmental standpoint, he's going to be coached by Greg Popovich. He's going to be playing with and against the greatest players in the world, NBA players playing for their international teams. And in practice alone, De'Aaron Fox is already working and playing one-on-one with fellow young players like Jason Tatum, also fellow point guards, Kyle Lowry and Kemba Walker are there. I mean, he's going to learn a lot and have an opportunity really to grow entering his third season in this training camp. Now, Marvin Bagley has also been invited. However, he is invited to the select team, which is kind of a tier down, but he's still working with them. So that's pretty cool that he is involved as well. But it's cool to see so much Sacramento Kings representation at Team USA, and I hope that is something that continues. Let me know what you think about the Team USA invites and the Kings partaking in Team USA. Are you like me? Do you completely see all the benefits to it and have no concern? And if something happens, you'll be disappointed, but you know, it is what it is. You can't really control it and protect players. Or are you on the other side of the fence where you'd rather your team's biggest star not risk injury by partaking in quote unquote meaningless basketball, at least from an NBA standpoint, meaningless basketball heading into next year? So let me know. You can reach me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHTK at any time. You can also email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Please take advantage of that. And just be a part of the conversation, be a part of this podcast, and make sure the Locked On Kings community consists of your voice as well as mine and your fellow Kings fans. Now for another voice joining me. He is a Warriors fan, but he is a great guy, a co-worker of mine. It's Kyle Madsen from Sports 1140 KHGK in his final week at the station, joining me for another edition of the Wild West series here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Another week here on the Locked On Kings podcast, another guest for you as we continue our Wild West series. However, this is going to be a bit abbreviated from what I did with Jay Mars and Jason Ross, but my guest today, someone who is a colleague of mine as of now at Sports 1140 KHDK, but if you follow KHDK, you follow the morning show, The Drive, from 6 to 9 a.m. on weekdays, you will know that Kyle Madsen is leaving at the end of this week. He's heading to the Bay Area, where he is actually from, to join Bay Area Radio. I'll let him make that official announcement later on his Twitter account, but he's nice enough to spend a couple minutes with us here on the final week that he's at KHDK, and I could steal him into the prod room for a couple minutes here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Glorified Warrior fan, but very deeply rooted into Kings culture here in Sacramento, has been so for the past couple of years. Kyle, nice enough to take the time. Kyle, I'm going to miss you, buddy, but thank you for coming into the Locked On Kings podcast at least one more time.
Yeah, I want to let you know that I will still happily join your podcast, even though I'm not going to be here specifically anymore.
No, once like, you this leave, isn't you're dead.
No, you're gone. I mean, that feels unfair to me.
Bye-bye.
I think I'm a really good guest, and I think it helps the pod.
bottom of the barrel, really, for me. No, for, on a very serious message. Note, thank you so much for taking the time,
of course,
to come on, and for everything that you've been involved with in Kings culture. And really, one of the things you brought to Sacramento and you've brought to this podcast before that I think is really important is an outside perspective that understands what's happening in Sacramento. And I mean, you're very open with your support of the Golden State Warriors. You've been a fan of the Golden State Warriors for a long time, much longer than the title run that they have been on that now might be coming to an end. Mm-hmm. We're going to discuss that a lot here. Is really the point of this and what we've been trying to do here to get us through really the driest months of the NBA offseason is to look at the playoff situation in the West, because we know how difficult and crazy and talented the West is, and find out what slots are potentially going to be open and how the Kings potentially can work their way into that playoff picture. I mean, I'm safe in assuming for you, Kyle, you believe that this team has a legitimate chance to compete for a playoff spot in the West, correct?
Yeah, they did last year, and I think they only got better this offseason, so it would make sense. The issue is what I think we're about to discuss, is the rest of the West somehow seemed to get better as well, or at least stay in contention for a playoff spot. So it's going to be a steep hill to climb to even just an 8 seed.
I've asked Jason about this. I've asked Jay about this. I also wrote an article about this on KHDK.com, but I think it's an interesting conversation. You get a lot of different perspective. From the Sacramento Kings' point of view, Vlade Divac has been very open about it, especially when he hired Luke Walton, that this team was going hard for the playoffs this year. The players themselves were very disappointed in the fact that they didn't make the playoffs last year. We know that's in their sights. De'Aaron Fox has said that they believe they can compete not only and make it into the playoffs, but be at the compete with the best of the best in the Western Conference. So we know they expect playoffs and expect it of themselves. But would you say, from your perspective and maybe a fan perspective here in Sacramento, that is playoffs or bust for this Kings squad?
I don't think it's necessarily playoffs or bust, because that to me says if they don't make the playoffs this year, then blow it up, start all over. I do think, though, that if they are not in contention, or if they're sitting there in February and looking at a 10-game deficit or something crazy like that, I think that's kind of a failure. But if they're in that 43-44 win range, where they improve their record, they're in the playoff hunt, but it just turns out that there's too many teams ahead of them in their trajectory towards contending, I don't think that's the end of the world, just because the Kings are so young. So no, I don't ultimately think playoffs or bust would be a fair label.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with you there. My request for them, my line of failure, and again, failure can look different in a lot of different ways. Injuries mm-hmm. can happen. So there's so much that can happen during a season to classify it as one thing, no matter what, isn't necessarily fair at this point. But to me, my wish list, my desire, my line of a good season versus a bad season was continuing to build upon what they did last year in the win column. 39 mm-hmm. wins last year. Arguably, you could say they should have had around 41, 42. If they don't break 39 wins, regardless of the circumstances, yeah, I know I'm disappointed. But again, failure, I don't know.
Well, and you also have to look at, I think, the way they finished last year, I think put a little bit, just a touch of a damper on their entire season. They really kind of stumbled there at the end of the year. They didn't get to the 500 mark. They didn't get to the 40-win mark. And it was just a little bit of a disappointment, but it was still, you know, it was a better year. It was an improvement. I think, let's say they're sitting at 43 wins with 10 games to go, and they finish with 44 wins. That, to me, is like they fell apart again.
Yeah.
And that's where you have to go case by case, because like, injuries happen, and you get, you know, you run into a team that just got super hot one night. And so you'll have to take it kind of in that scope or from that perspective. But I mean, 45 wins, it would be really tough if they got to that number, regardless of how they got there, to look at next season as a failure if they reach that 45 win mark.
But we both would agree that we expect this team and would be disappointed if this team was not in a very serious playoff race come the final
big
months
time
of the season. So that requires playoff spots to be open and be available. So one of the things we're going to do, an abbreviated Wild West series here, Kyle, is we're going to go through at first the eight teams that made the playoffs last year and really quickly just rattle off which teams are locks, which teams are on the fringe, and which teams you think honestly have no chance or completely falling out, because there might be a team or two mm-hmm. in the West playoff picture last year that I, at least in my opinion, don't have much of a chance this year. We'll start at the very top with your guys, the Golden State Warriors. A lot of teams think that they're weak and they are going to have a steep drop-off here with the fact that they lost mm-hmm. Durant and Klay Thompson is hurt. Where do you put them in your playoff picture? Are they still a lock for you?
I wouldn't say a lock, just because the margin of error is so small. But if everything goes basically, if things go just normal for them, they have a regular year, I have a really hard time, a really difficult time believing that Stephen Curry, even at age 32, 33, Draymond Green as he enters his 30s, and then you get Klay Thompson back for a stretch run in February-ish, I have a really hard time that team is not winning 45, 46, 47 games and landing a playoff spot. Their depth might wind up being an issue, but you have D'Angelo Russell, who they'll have to work in. I think they might start a little bit slow while they figure stuff out with him, but they're going to have some issues defensively, but I think they're going to score a ton of points. I think Steph Curry and D'Angelo Russell can coexist, and then you're going to add Klay Thompson into that mix. And really what they lacked last year was an additional creator to spell Steph. When Curry wasn't on the court, they had a really hard time scoring, even when Klay Thompson was out there, even when Draymond Green was out there. So having D'Angelo Russell, a legit scoring threat from beyond the arc and as a ball handler, is going to help Golden State more than I think people realize. So I think I do think they earn a playoff spot.
I was having a conversation with a couple of friends of mine from the Bay, and I actually found myself defending the Warriors organization, and I'm guilty of this. I think a lot of people are guilty of this. I think we're putting a nail in their coffin much too quickly.
Yeah.
The fact that all these injuries are happening, and I tweeted out a couple of days ago that if they could manage to stay around 500 and Klay Thompson comes back around playoff time and mm-hmm. is at the normal Klay Thompson level. Now, that's a lot to ask, but it plays at the normal sure. Klay Thompson level. I know the West is significantly better, and there's some juggernaut teams in the West right now, but I'm not going to dismiss the Warriors as potentially putting together another run. Same thing with the year following. Who knows what's going to happen mm-hmm. from now to then? And so I was surprised by the backlash I got of people completely putting them to bed. Do you see the same thing?
Yeah, I've seen immediately after Kevin Durant made his announcement, and again, the internet is such a small like subsection
sure.
of the I saw a thing, it's like 2.2% of people are actually like tweeting a lot, and that's such a small little section of society. But I had several people reach out to me and like, hey man, I'm calling it now, the Kings are winning more games than the Warriors, they're gonna make the playoffs, and the Warriors aren't. It's like maybe like that's definitely on the table. But to just declare that like it's a given, that's a lot. That's expecting a really significant jump from the Kings and a really significant decline from the Warriors. And one of those two things could happen for sure, but the idea that both of them are for sure happening is a pretty lofty assumption.
So I don't have the Warriors as a lock per se, but I have them definitely in the playoff picture, and I think they will be in the playoffs by the end of this season. I like the D'Angelo Russell addition as well. I'm going to rattle off four teams for you that were playoff teams last year that mm-hmm. I think are locks to make the playoffs again this year, and tell me if you disagree with any of them. Denver Nuggets, Portland Trail Blazers, Utah Jazz, and LA Clippers. All locks to you?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, they're all getting in. And then the Rockets are a lock for me too.
Rockets a lock for you too. See, I know some people are a little hesitant with the Rockets with how Russell Westbrook and James Harden are going to work together and some players. I don't expect them to be a high playoff seed. But there's still so much talent on that roster. I have a hard time imagining them not making it.
I think they might like get a one or two seed. I really believe in I wasn't at first. I was all the way out. But then Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo talked about it on Bill Simmons' podcast, and they played out the scenario of like a Russell Westbrook, Clint Capella pick and roll where James Harden is one of the shooters standing on the outside. And that's so many guys, it's Westbrook and Harden, but two playmakers who could ostensibly, they like each other, so they could ostensibly already have it figured out.
Yeah.
And say, hey, we're going to split the touches like this, and this is how the offense is going to look. And if they do that, if those two guys figure out how to coexist, the Rockets are going to be really, really hard to beat.
Yeah, I definitely understand that argument. Final two teams in the playoff picture, these teams are the ones that are a little more up in the air. Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs. Locks, fringes, or no chance?
So I'm not going to say no chance about the Spurs.
Yeah.
Because, like, the Spurs could start the season 0-20, mm-hmm. and I'd be like, oh, you can't count them out. So I think I'm not going to say that about the Spurs. And then the Thunder are such a weird team. Yep. I don't know what to think. But right now, I think I probably have them on the outside looking in, just because if Chris Paul is your best player, if he's going to be your top guy that you're relying on for 35, 36 minutes a night, which is what they're going to have to do if they're going to make the playoffs with him, I don't think he can hold up for that. And I don't think he can play at a high enough level for that.
Yeah, I have OKC as a no-chance team. They're the guaranteed team that I have dropping out of the playoff picture, which means that is the team that I expect the Los Angeles Lakers to replace. Mm-hmm. That means we need to find one more team to fall out if the Kings are to move their way in. And a lot of people are pegging the San Antonio Spurs as that team. I've heard some potentially say the Portland Trail Blazers, although I'm a lot higher on that backcourt there and the additions they've made. I'm not a huge fan of Hassan Whiteside, but skill-wise, he's a good fit alongside what they are trying
to
do. The
Blazers are good, dude. The Blazers are really good. Terry Stotts is a really good coach.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So I think we both agree that the Spurs are probably the most likely team that the Kings are going to battle with to try and take a playoff spot away. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask you about some of the teams directly beneath the Kings in the standings last year that potentially could be pulling the Kings away and fighting with the Spurs themselves to try and steal away an eighth seed or a seventh seed. And the two teams, or actually the three teams that are in there, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Dallas Mavericks. Out of those three, which one do you think is the biggest threat to dethrone the Kings and take them away from that ninth spot?
If I'm power ranking those, Dallas 1, Pelicans 2, Minnesota 3. I just don't believe in the Timberwolves. I don't.
I'm right there with you.
They are an accumulation of some really good talent that just doesn't, that if it hasn't worked now, like, what evidence do we have that it's going to work next year? The Pelicans, same kind of thing. I think Zion's going to be incredible, but I think that's a really young group that probably needs a year together to really iron everything out and figure everything out. And I don't even know if Brandon Ingram's good at basketball. I don't know if Lonzo's good at basketball. Like, I'm just not ready to crown those guys as a playoff team or a team that's going to really be in the thick of the playoff hunt. And then Dallas has an opportunity. If Kristaps Porzingis comes back at 100%, that's such a scary team. That is such a frightening team. Just from a any given night, that team is going to go beat the Bucks or the Clippers or whatever team. And maybe they wind up only winning 42 games or something. But I could also see a scenario where everything goes right and they win 50. So I think the Mavericks could be really, really good.
I'm up there with you with the Mavericks. I think they have the potential to shine, especially if Kristaps Porzingis is Kristaps Porzingis and comes back and returns and does the same things that he was doing in New York. Jason Ross is not as high on them because of their lack of depth. However, they do have so much talent in that starting lineup with those two stars. I can see them certainly making noise. Going back to the Kings, Kyle, before we wrap up, besides the obvious, what specific things in your mind have to happen for the Kings or to the Kings this season in order for them to make the playoffs, to finally burst through that brick wall and to be amongst the top eight in a very, very difficult West?
My biggest worry with the Kings is that they had a bunch of guys hit ceilings. Buddy Hield, I know he's only been in the league a couple years. He's 26.
Yep.
And he had an incredible, like, all-time, I'm not exaggerating or being hyperbolic. He had an all-time Mount Rushmore type shooting year last year.
Yep.
He was incredible. Does he build on that? Can he sustain it? That's a huge question mark for me. I'm not just penciling him in to shoot, what he shoot, 44% on like 7 a game or something like that?
Close to that, 44, 45. I think he's right, hovering around it.
I don't know if that's sustainable for him. And it might be. I'm not, like I said, I'm just not ready to say that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox took a pretty significant leap last year. He still has room to grow for sure, but is there another significant leap this year? I think he has to take one.
Yeah.
Marvin Bagley, what does he add to his game? Because I don't think hustle and rebounding is going to be enough. I think they need him to shoot 4 or 5 threes a game and hit them at a 35% clip. Like, just hit a few a game or a couple a game, and really just make defenses put that stress on them to spread the floor. And then Dwayne Dedmon had a career year last year. Is that sustainable, or is that a one-year kind of aberration and the Kings are suddenly sitting there with a guy who's probably just a rotational center and they're paying him a ton of money? So there are a bunch of question marks. I think Harrison Barnes, you know what you're getting with him. I think he's a really good fit for the Kings and what they're doing. I think Bogdan Bogdanovic, he's another guy. I feel like he probably hit a ceiling. I'm like I said, I'm not taking all that stuff off the table, but I'm hesitating to just say, yeah, the Kings are going to be right there because all this stuff is for sure happening. But I think that's what needs to happen, is they're going to have, you know, another big year from Dwayne Dedmon. De'Aaron Fox takes another leap. Buddy Hield has another incredible shooting season. If they get all that, then yeah, I think they're going to be a shoe-in for the playoffs.
We'll finish with this. The three major things that I have pegged that need to take place if the Kings are going to be a playoff team, and let me know if you agree or disagree with any of these. First and foremost, absolute number one, De'Aaron Fox has to have either an all-star season, meaning he is an all-star, or he is an all-star snub. Similar to Damian Lillard a number of years ago, where he should have been an all-star but was snubbed because of fan voting.
But last year.
Right, exactly. Yeah. To me, De'Aaron Fox has to be the number one guy and number one offensive player on this team, which Buddy Hield was last year. I agree with you. I don't think what Buddy Hield did is sustainable. However, if De'Aaron Fox can become the team's leader on the offensive end, go-to guy, to where it takes attention off of Buddy Hield, to where he can shoot 40, 41, 42% from three-point range, I think you're still maximizing his value in that sense. That kind of morphed into my number two. The final one for me is, and it's something Luke Walton emphasized in his pregame or his introductory press conference, perimeter defense has to get better. This team doesn't need to be a good perimeter defensive team, but top 15 in the league. They've been absolutely abused. I'm not saying making a title run. If they wanted to make a title run, they'd have to be a good perimeter defensive team. But if they're going to make the playoffs, especially in the West, they have to be competent, at least, in that area. And that's top to bottom. That's not just, oh, hey, the guy's coming off the bench and Buddy Hield. That's De'Aaron Fox, too.
Yeah, and what you said about Fox, I think, hits the nail on the head, because there were too many games last year. He is supposed to be the guy. Iman Shumpert said it when he was on our show on The Drive, when after he got traded, that De'Aaron Fox has the keys to the car. Like, they're going to go as he goes. And there were just too many moments last year. He had some big moments, and he's had big moments in his career. Like, I'm not saying he shies away from it, but there were too many games last year where I just forgot he was there.
Yeah.
And that can't. If that happens on a back end of a back-to-back and they're down 20 in the second half and he takes his foot off the gas, okay, that's going to happen. But in close games, you can't just lose De'Aaron Fox for stretches of 5 or 8 or 10 minutes. He needs to be the guy, like you said, and I think you're exactly right. He needs to be the guy for them offensively.
Yeah, last year he made a massive jump, in my opinion. His three-point shooting was a massive improvement, which we're all pleased with. I thought his best jump was his ability to run an offense and to play the point guard position. Now I know he can do that. I want him to still do that. I need him to be the leading scorer, though, too, this year.
Yeah, and the big thing, this ties a little bit into that, but just overall, we saw so many games last year that the Kings just kind of, I hate saying choked because it's so negative, but the Kings had, and they let get away.
Three of them against the Warriors.
Yeah, right. They could have beaten Golden State 4 times, and their late-game execution was so bad, and we saw that so many times, and I think that starts with De'Aaron Fox. Like, late game execution has to be better, and if they improve that and do exactly what they did last year, they're going to be an above 500 team. But that late game execution, like I said, that starts with De'Aaron Fox. The ball's got to be in his hands, and he's got to make plays.
Well, Kyle, I think you and I would both agree that this season is going to be extremely exciting. The parity in the Western Conference is nuts, and again, I'm not putting your team to bed. I think the Golden State Warriors are still going to be a force to be reckoned with. They still have a lot of talent, and who knows? We might finally get what we've been waiting for years upon years, and that's a Kings and Warriors playoff series. Hopefully, we'll cross our fingers that something like that takes place, and if it does, we'll definitely have you back on. We'll have you back on at some point
anytime,
season as well. Congratulations again on the move to the Bay Area. Keep active with Kyle Madsen on Twitter, on social media. He's very easy to find, a great follow. He'll let you know everything that he's doing. And you're going to want to stay attached to everything that he's doing, even though he's going over the Bay. He's still going to be local in Sacramento. You'll hear him on KHDK programming, so he's not going to be a stranger. Make sure you're involved. Even though he's a Warriors fan, suck it up, deal with it. I have. It's great. He's a great guy. So I promise you'll enjoy it as much as I am. Kyle, you're the man. Thank you so much for taking the time, man. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, anytime. Sounds good.
Kyle is the man. Appreciate him taking the time. Be sure to follow him on social media and follow him on the next steps of his career as he heads back to the Bay Area. He'll be back in his hometown. He'll be back around his people, his fellow Warrior fans, but he does have deep roots here in Sacramento, a Sac State alumni, a Sac State graduate. So he knows Sacramento. He knows what it's all about. And believe me when I say he understands and respects what the Kings are doing, the Kings culture, and you will get good Kings conversation, good Kings takes, and fair analysis from Kyle Madsen at all times. So even as a Kings fan, he is a must-have follow in my opinion. That does it for another episode here of the Locked On Kings podcast. Appreciate you taking the time later on this week, working on another surprise fun interview for you. I don't want to make too many promises because we're working on time zone constraints. Hopefully I'll be able to get him on. That's all I'll say about it. But if we do manage to work something out, I think you're really, really going to enjoy the guy that I'm working on bringing on here, bringing a bit more of a local flair here to the Locked On Kings podcast, sharing one of my favorite stories that's happening currently with the Sacramento Kings right now. So hopefully we'll be able to get that done. Look forward to that. Of course, more Wild West series, more guests, more analysis, and everything coming through the remainder of this offseason. So keep it right here to Locked On Kings, and I'll be happy to join you and get you through August, get you through September and into October, where the real fun begins. Until next podcast, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.